Welcome to the Passion Over Profits podcast with Top Son Goku, bringing you your weekly dose of Dragon Ball Super Collector's content. Stay tuned for exclusive interviews with some of the most knowledgeable DBS collectors in the community.
What's up, guys, and welcome to another episode of Passion Over Profits podcast. My name is Top Son Goku, and today I have a very interesting topic for you guys. It might not be the most popular topic, but I think it's a conversation that we need to have as a community. So I want to talk about, you know, the dark side of collecting. I want to talk about the sin of greed, the addictive component of collecting that's consumes kind of all of us and can make us miserable as collectors, can make us unable to enjoy and appreciate the hobby for what it is, and can actually ruin us. It's a thing that, believe it or not, can bring people to get in debt, destroy their relationships, and ruin their lives. If that's something that you're interested in listening to, or if it's kind of sparked your interest, it's kind of relatable to you, or if it's something that you've thought about recently, make sure to stay tuned and listen all the way to the end. Now, before we start, I want to ask you a question. Why did you start collecting cards in the first place? Was it a way for you to reconnect with childhood hobbies? Is it the nostalgia, right? Thinking or feeling the way that you did before when times were just simpler, easier, more joyful, happier? Is it a way for you to, you know, disconnect from the stressful, the more complex things of life, the responsibilities that you have as an adult? Does collecting in general feel good? Does it feel satisfying, relaxing, or maybe exciting, right? Reconnect for a moment as to why you actually started collecting in the first place, like the thing, the feeling that drew you to make you that first purchase. Good. Let's try to hold on to that feeling, that emotion, because I think this is the essence of what it means, the foundation of what it means to be a collector. I think it's good sometimes to kind of reflect and go back to the reason why you actually started, because it's so easy to get lost or get consumed into wanting more, right? Chasing yet another card that you need, yet another missing piece of the puzzle. If only like you had that one extra card in your collection, the puzzle would be complete, right? Is this something that you relate to? Hear me out. I think that collecting is a beautiful hobby, right? I think it's wonderful. It's an activity that is intrinsically good, right? The nature of the hobby is peaceful and childish and happy. It makes us feel good, right? It brings us to the present moment and make us enjoy life more. It makes us relax, calm down, and disconnect from the daily life struggles. We all need this in one way or another. And for us, it's collecting. So I think that's what hobbies are for. The catch, though, is that collecting in and of itself, by definition, fuels greed. It fuels the sin of greed. And the more you engage with a hobby, the more it can consume you if you're unaware of it. Greed is dangerous. It gives you that feeling of unease, restlessness, the feeling that you're incomplete, not enough, right? That you need more. It makes you desire or crave more. And sometimes it makes you chase that one card that you can't really afford. And with the perspective of a collector, you think that if only I had that one card, my collection would be complete. Is that something that you can relate to? Like, did you ever give in to that urge? If the answer is yes, then this episode is for you. Like, I mean, this episode is as much for me as it is for you, I think. And I mean, believe me, I've been there myself. I've bought countless cards that were kind of out of my league. In fact, the hobby kind of consumed me to a point where, you know, I went from having a comfortable savings account to almost zero. And luckily I was able to snap out of it and sell, you know, a very expensive card. I sold an Awakened Power PSA 10 at a pretty high point, and I was back on track. Now please keep listening and hear me out, because I believe that there's a way to find balance and enjoy the qualities of collecting while not getting consumed by greed and addiction. Because yeah, what makes our hobby even more dangerous is the addictive component. In fact, our entire hobby seems to be based on this. Think about it. You go to stores and buy booster boxes to open at home, right? So you're so excited, right? That set finally got released and you have that one card, that secret or that everybody's after. It's gorgeous. You just need it for your collection, right? So you go home and you open that box, you crack the packs and you're praying for good pulls, right? It's exciting. And the opening in and of itself is amazing. It feels good. It's exciting. You feel happy. You're engaged. But you pulled nothing. No secret rare. And you're disappointed. Maybe a little bit of... You feel a little bit disgusting, right? Like, did I pay just $80 to $100 for that box and there's just nothing in it? You know, maybe better luck next time, right? You know, maybe you're kind of building up your luck for next time. So soon enough, you just go to the store again and buy another box and you crack it again. Damn, no secret rare. Unlucky again. And you do it again and again and again. And after sixth box, you finally pulled that SCR you're really after. And you know, it's a little bit off center. It has a massive print line in the middle, but you know, damn, it was so worth it, right? You have that, you feel good, you have that dopamine rush, and it just kind of makes you rationalize this action into thinking that it was all worth it. No, guys, this is called gambling. And if this is you, I'm sorry to tell you, but you have a gambling addiction. You know, the pull rates of that card, it's like 1 in 12 boxes or 1 in 18 boxes. And yet, you still want to try to get that SCR cheaper and trying your luck, trying to pull it to yourself. The SCR costs like $200, $250. And yet, you spent, you know, maybe $600 trying to pull it yourself. And you know, it's a little bit off-center. It has a print line. But, you know, better luck next time. Maybe next time you'll pull it the first time. Because you know what? I think the lucky ones are the ones that, you know, crack three boxes and get disgusted. And just say like, you know what? Next set, I'm just going to buy the singles. It's going to be more cost efficient. These are the lucky ones. The guys who don't pull anything. These are the lucky ones. Because the worst thing, in my opinion, in my personal opinion, the worst thing that can happen is for you to crack a box, get your chase card straight away. I think that's the worst thing that could happen, because you got that card and now you're hooked. This is why I feel that our hobby is more of an adult game rather than a children's hobby. It's too addictive. There's too much of an addictive component. This is not for children. Because once you've tasted it, you want more. And, you know, I've heard stories of people cracking cases after cases, just trying to pull that one expensive card. This is in the sports card industry. But these people drain their savings trying to get that card. They get into debt sometimes. Losing their loved ones, you know, losing their job because you're consumed by this addictive hobby. And the odds are always against you trying to open the boxes. On the long run, the odds are against you. It's not worth it. Look, I hate to make this an annoying, maybe negative episode, but I'm here to, you know, tell you the truth, tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And if you're still listening, then look, I appreciate you, because I really want to drive this point home. Because hey, you know what? There's more. There's more than what I've discussed right now. Because you know, you pulled that your chase card, you pulled that expensive card, so now you better grade it, right? Because in PSA 9, you know, it's not that valuable. But if you pull off the PSA 10, you know, like the gem in 10. Damn, then it was so worth it. Or is it? You know, whenever I see people switching to graded cards, I tell them, welcome to the dark side. Because you may think, you know, it's just like that one slab that you're after, and then you buy a PSA 10 of, you know, that one card. But just that one card, nah, don't be fooled. You know, once you've purchased that one card, you're hooked and you want more. There's no way back. There's just no way back. So collecting graded cards is like, for, I mean, in my opinion, right, collecting graded cards in high grades, or in the highest grades, is like the summum of what our hobby has to offer in terms of value, right? It's the maximum collectability, the maximum collectability. That SCR may have a pull rate of like 1 in 12 boxes or 1 in 18 boxes, but, you know, the population PSA 10s, according to the Pop Report, there's only 68 of them in the world. So if you pull it off and you get that PSA 10, you own more than 1% of the entire population in the world, right? That's collectability. It adds to the chase. It adds to the never-ending feeling of not having enough. Because now your card comes back from PSA and it's a PSA 9. It's not good enough, right? So now you need more and you need to chase that card again. So now, to really hammer this point home, I think that our hobby is based on materialism and it's fueled by greed and gambling addiction. And you know what? Social media is kind of putting oil on the fire because it really amplifies that feeling of not having enough, and it can sometimes ruin your self-esteem. There's always more out there. Like, there's always that one rich guy that can just buy up all the black labels, right? You just started the hobby and there he is. He has all your chase cards in black labels, like in 1 month. There's always that one guy. And the only way I find personally to not get too consumed and to enjoy the hobby for what it is to reflect back and be mindful while kind of collecting. Because I think personally that collecting requires self-control and perspective. It's a hobby for adults. You know, so you really need to take responsibility for your action and confront your addiction and act on it. You know, find help if it's needed, right? Maybe you need to pause all your purchases for a couple of months. Who knows? I mean, you have to assess this yourself, but be brutally honest, because this hobby is not a sprint, right? If you want to enjoy this hobby in the long run, right, it's a marathon, you probably have to reflect on how you spend your money. Because if you're trying to catch them all the time, then chances are that you'll burn out and be broke in no time. So you need to relax and enjoy this journey. And as I told you, this episode is as much for you as it is for me. When you think back as to why you started collecting in the first place and look at how you're engaging with the hobby today, is it really something that you wanted? Like, if you have to weigh in all the good and the bad of this hobby, of what you're doing to engage in the hobby, is this really what you wanted? Would you have started that journey if you knew all it took to bring you where you are today, right? Weigh in the good and the bad. Would you start this journey? I think that's an important question to ask yourself. So now I want to talk about my current view on the hobby. I've reflected myself. I've thought about it. I've confronted how much money I spent. And I think it's very, very, very important in our hobby, because it's you know, like I said, it's based on materialism and it all costs a lot of money. I think that before I even go, because I compiled all my thoughts into 10 rules of collecting. If this is something that you need to hear, then please stay tuned. But before I even go into the 10 rules, maybe this should have been a rule, but you need to be able to track your expenses, you know, while writing this episode. This kind of felt like I didn't need to write this, because to me it just felt normal. But I think a lot of people don't track their expenses, and it's the easiest thing to do, and it really, really helps, because you can try to look at your bank account, but obviously you still have a monthly income. It's kind of diluted, right? It's not really set black and white how much you spent on the hobby. So I use an app since 2018. I've been doing this for 3 years. I use an app called Expense, and every time I buy a card, every time I go to the groceries or you know, eat pizza or whatever, every expense is in there. My rent is in there, my income is in there. If I buy or sell a card, it's in there. So for me, it's very easy. In three clicks, I can already know how much I spend that month on the hobby. And I think this is, you know, so important, because you otherwise you're just kind of guessing how much you spend, right? And it's very easy also. You can just look like, you know, last month I spent $2,000. The month before I spent $5,000, or, you know, $50 or $60, $100, $6, nothing. That's also possible. But you know, you can kind of analyze and just be honest with yourself. Without that data, you know, it's kind of hard to make conclusions about this. So get this app. It's called Expense. I think I pay €5 a year to keep using it, and it just helps a lot. So let's just get into these 10 rules of collecting. Like I said, this is a work in progress. I've yet to really apply these myself because I just wrote this episode while I was reflecting myself. So I think these 10 tips or rules will be very practical and easy to use, and all these are guidelines. Of course, you need to kind of do this for yourself as well to see if this applies to you. But number one is that I only collect what I love, right? So this I know it is super basic, and if you're listening to this, you probably do this already. But sometimes it's not that easy because, you know, we're on social media and our favorite influencer just posted one card and you don't have that card and you're like, shit, now I really want this. But, you know, make it a practice to kind of take a step back and ask yourself, do you really love this card? Is this artwork appealing to you, or are you just buying it because that person has it? You know, this is really, sometimes I feel like we need to become more spiritual in some way. We need to be definitely more mindful about our expenses, about our purchases, because I know this myself. When I post a card on my Instagram, I often have DMs of people saying, yay, another card for the want list, or, oh man, now I need this, I'm going to purchase it now. And, oh yes, thank you for posting, I just bought it on eBay. So I know I'm not the only one struggling with this, but you know, you're being influenced by influencers, obviously, and you're buying stuff that they are buying. But sometimes you just kind of, you know, need to take a step back, be mindful, and, you know, is this card really something that I want? To take it even further, I think it's better to be proactive and to go through the card list of dbscardgame.com, go through the card list and make a list and prioritize the cards that you want to buy first, right? I think that's even better, rather than, you know, going with the flow and just buying whatever you see online, because chances are that you're too late and that you're paying too much for that card, probably, because by the time your influencer posts it, then yeah, you know, the card is already popular. So I think it's just something to be mindful about. Only collect what you love and try to be proactive about this. Number two is try to buy the cards that you want rather than trying to pull them yourself by cracking boxes, right? Buy singles. So like I said, like, cracking boxes is like gambling, right? You have a gambling addiction if you crack boxes. If that means that you cannot have a sealed collection, then okay, that's possible, because I hear it over and over when people hold sealed boxes at home. They're like, is that secret rare in there? Maybe it might have an apex of power. And then they end up cracking it, and they basically lose money because their boxes are expensive, and it's only worth it if you pull that one chase card. I mean, at least that's the case for a lot of boxes. So try to buy the singles. And what I started doing with the last set is that, you know, at every release, I just have a list, like, I'm proactive. I have a list of the cards that I want, and I just buy the singles of that set at release. Number three is I purchase my cards from a local store so that I can inspect the condition straight away and I know exactly what I'm buying. I can't be disappointed about the condition. So I purchase only the cards that I love. I buy the singles. I don't crack boxes, but I also try to purchase them from a local store that I can see the card for myself and inspect it, and only buy it if it, you know, fits my standards. And I think this is something that is not applicable for everyone. I'm aware. I also need to travel to a neighbor country in order to be able to do this, right? I need to drive 2 hours to go to that local store. I'm in Belgium. I'm one of the smallest countries in the world. So yeah, traveling to a neighbor country is just 2 hour drive. But I have a two hour drive in order to be able to see these cards for myself. But I think it's so worth it, because when you're trying to buy online, it might have that print line, it might have a corner damage, it might have factory lines that you didn't know about. So if you're after a very specific condition of cards, then I think the way to go is to go to local stores, and that way you can also support, you know, your local gaming stores, because these stores are the pillars of our community. Without those stores, without supporting those stores, you know, we probably wouldn't have a hobby. And it's very important that these stores can make a profit and can continue, because if there are no local gaming stores, then there's only those huge platforms, and you kind of lose a touch. You it's not possible for you anymore to just buy those singles. So we need those local stores. Number four is only buy from trusted sellers, trusted members of the community. Again, that local gaming store, that's definitely in there as well. But if you're buying online, buy from trusted members. I understand this is not always possible. Sometimes the card that you're after is very rare or, you know, elusive, and you just kind of have to, you can't really choose who you're buying this from, but try to follow this rule as much as possible, because trusted members will be more transparent. They will show you if there's damage. The prices are often, they might be a little bit higher, but trust me, it's just worth it. I rather buy from my friends, from the trusted members of the community, rather than a random guy, because you could also get scammed and lose money, and it's sometimes it's just not worth it. Of course, in order to have trusted members, we need to trust people, right? So you need to make that first purchase. You need to give people a chance as well, but try to follow this rule as much as possible. It's not because an underground Instagram account has it for 20% less that you should buy from that person. Sometimes it's just not worth it. I would personally rather pay, 20 or 30% more in order to have that ease of to have that confidence. I like to purchase with confidence and know what I'm buying from the person. Also, you're supporting that community member, you're supporting him and make sure that he can continue in this hobby. And because without those trusted members, our community would be definitely less appealing in the first place. Number five is I try as much as possible to limit my online purchases on platforms like TCG Player and Card Market to a minimum. Because, near mint, listed near mint is almost never mint. Because I like to collect PSA 10s or at least BGS 9.5s. I just like mint cards. I just like mint cards. I don't like my cards to get damaged. Unless we're talking about, very rare cards or cards that are very old or whatever. And then I just accept it. And, it's just different. Then I just don't grade the cards. And I do have a binder as well. But the binder is just, filled with cards that were supposed to be mint, or that I hoped that were mint, and just didn't, fit the standards. And so I put them in the binder. But try to limit those purchases of these platforms to a minimum if you're really after the mint cards, because most people will list their cards as near mint, and near mint is near mint, right? It can have scratches, it can have a little dent, it is what it is. Don't expect mint cards when it's listed near mint. Most often than not, you will get disappointed. You will lose money, right? You will have spent that money, and you could have spent it more wisely. So buy from trusted sellers. Try to go to a local store and buy singles that you can see with your own eyes, because, these platforms, TCG Player and Card Market, are so convenient, right? I spent so much money, and I think it's just because it's just so convenient, right? It's more convenient than eBay, right? You just type the name of the card and you click add to cart, and it, once you're it's as convenient as eBay, but eBay is, yeah, I don't like eBay for buying cards unless they are graded. But for singles, man, those platforms are just so easy. You 3 clicks and the cart is on its way. So just be very mindful. It's very, very easy to spend a lot of money on there, and it's often not worth it. Number 6 is if you did purchase a card that was listed at mint, not near mint, but mint, and it didn't fit your expectations, right? It has that little scratch, it has a dent, it has some edge wear, just don't hesitate to, you know, contact the seller and try to see if you can either get a partial refund or if you can return it. I've started to do this recently, like the last couple of months, and honestly, there's just so much money that you can get back. Maybe you lost that shipping, the shipping expenses, but you know, better than nothing, right? To cut your losses when you can. This of course doesn't really apply to listed near mint cards, but if I try to, when I purchase them on these platforms, I try to only buy cards that are listed as mint, because then you can really be harsh on the seller. Like, look, I paid premium for a mint card and it's not mint, right? So sometimes you can't really find those cards on in the local gaming store. So sometimes you have to, you know, look further, but try to be more mindful and ask for refunds when it's possible. You will have to put that extra effort into repackaging the cards and sending it to the seller. You will probably lose that shipping expenses, but you know, it is what it is. Cut your losses when you can. Number 7 is try to set realistic monthly collecting budgets for yourself, and try to not go over that budget. This is something that I've tried in June 2021, and I already, like, we're June 7th, and I already went over that budget. So it's apparently it was not realistic. Yeah, I mean, compared to what I usually spend, this was way too low, I think. So I will have to be more realistic, because June 1st, that card popped up on eBay. I've been chasing this card for already close to a year. It popped up, I just had to grab it, right? And poof, the entire budget was already gone. And since then, I've made other purchases. So this is definitely a dynamic process, I feel, trying to find that balance of expenses and, yeah, the engagement in the hobby as in general. Like I said, you can enjoy the hobby in a different way than just buying cards. So try to have that budget. I know friends that do have a budget, and I feel like they are more fulfilled in the hobby in general, because they don't feel guilty as much when they are buying cards, because you know, it's in their budget, right? It's allowed. It's normal. It's okay. So I feel like this would help us bring us back more back to balance. Yeah, try to find that balance. Number 8 is if you decide to spend more that month, then try to see if you can sell some cards to compensate those extra purchases. Try to fund those purchases by selling other cards. And this is something that I've only done very recently. Like I said, I hit a wall, and I had to sell that Awakened Power. This was the first DBS card that I sold ever. So I was collecting for a year already, and I never sold a single DBS card, because I just felt like selling was more of a job. It felt like a job. It didn't feel good. And you know, you have to put some effort and you have to deal with buyers, and you have to put effort. Yeah, you just have to package it. You have to, yeah, go to the postal office and send off that package. You need to, yeah, there's effort that goes into that. So for a year, I didn't sell any cards. And I think this is just ridiculous, right? Why not sell that one card that's sitting in your collection that you never look at, like you don't really appreciate it? Why not sell that card to fund a card that you're really excited about, that you really want in your collection? Like, again, only buy what you love. Right, so if you have made purchases before from cards that, you know, if you don't really care about, why not sell those to fund more purchases that you actually do care about? So I think this is something that a lot of you do already, but this is just something that I started doing recently, and I think this is just another pillar to being able to do this more sustainably. Number nine is try to use your PayPal balance to fund your purchases instead of always using your bank account, because that PayPal balance is again another tool for you to see how much you spend or how much you earn or how much you sold these cards for. You probably don't really need to do this if you use this app that I told you, Expense, on the Apple Store to track your expenses and your income. But for me, it really helps because it allows me to use less money from my bank account. Yeah, I just think it's, again, something that a lot of you do, but it is something that I've only been doing recently. So again, another rule, another tip for you guys if you haven't done that before. And number 10, I think this is the most important rule of them all. Try to have fun. Engage with the hobby in different ways than just trying to buy more cards, right? You can be more active on social media, but you can also, you know, read the manga, watch the anime. You can just sit down and enjoy your cards, be grateful for what you have. There's plenty of ways to engage in the hobby rather than buying more and buying more and buying more. I think we have this misconception that the collection should only grow in one direction, but sometimes, you know, selling off your collection and more of a minimalistic approach can sometimes be more rewarding. So I will try to find my own balance, but definitely a key in order to be able to try to continue with this hobby is try to have fun. You need to enjoy this. Otherwise, you're just, again, create a second job for yourself. And that's definitely not the point of the Dragon Ball Super Card Game. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed listening to this. I know that at least the first half was very negative. And I feel like this is just, you know, this is a topic that is very taboo in our entire community. I just felt like, and I wanted to talk about this already for a while now. And I think that the podcast was really the platform to do this. So if this helped you at all, make sure to, you know, leave a comment below, leave a review on the podcast as well, if you can. And if you have any other tips, because, you know, I just reflected myself and thought about myself and made that list, like these 10 rules. But if you have other tips, make sure to share them and comment in the comments below if you're on YouTube, or, you know, share this podcast on other social media platforms and share your tips as well. I think it's something that we need to bring more awareness to. It needs to be a you know, less taboo in general. We need to grow as a community in general, because I think we're all very addicted. We're all very addicted and we're all adults. So let's have a healthy conversation about this. All right. I think that's it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching if you're on YouTube, and I'll catch you in the next one. Take care, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Passion Over Profits podcast. Please subscribe and stay tuned for more DBS Collectors content. Interested in which guest we're having next week? Find out in the next episode of Dragon Ball's Passion Over Profits. Yes, Passion Over Profits.